Chapter 65. Some of these Bohemians were of an irritable temperament, as constantly soured and vexed by two mental trials. The first, the consciousness that they had never got enough out of the public. The second, the consciousness that the public were admitted into the building. Under the latter great wrong, a few suffered dreadfully, particularly on Sundays, when they had for some time expected the earth to open and swallow the public up, but which desirable event had not yet occurred, in consequence of some reprehensible laxity in the arrangements of the universe. Mrs. Gowan's door was attended by a family servant of several years' standing, who had his own crow to pluck with the public concerning a situation in the post office which he had been for some time expecting, and to which he was not yet appointed. He perfectly knew that the public could never have got him in, but he grimly gratified himself with the idea that the public kept him out. Under the influence of this injury, and perhaps of some little straightness and irregularity in the matter of wages, he had grown neglectful of his person and morose in mind, and now beholding in Clennam one of the degraded body of his oppressors, received him with ignominy. Mrs. Gowan, however, received him with condescension. He found her a courtly old lady, formerly a beauty, and still sufficiently well favored to have dispensed with the powder on her nose, and a certain impossible bloom under each eye. She was a little lofty with him, so was another old lady, dark-browed and high-nosed, and who must have had something real about her, or she could not have existed, but it was certainly not her hair, or her teeth, or her figure, or her complexion. So was a gray old gentleman of dignified and sullen appearance, both of whom had come to dinner. But, as they had all been in the British Embassy way in sundry parts of the earth, and as a British Embassy cannot better establish a character with the Circumlocution Office than by treating its compatriots with illimitable contempt, else it would become like the embassies of other countries, Clennam felt that on the whole they let him off lightly. The dignified old gentleman turned out to be Lord Lancaster Stiltstocking, who had been maintained by the Circumlocution Office for many years as a representative of the Britannic Majesty abroad. This noble refrigerator had iced several European courts in his time, and had done it with such complete success that the very name of Englishman yet struck cold to the stomachs of foreigners who had the distinguished honor of remembering him at a distance of a quarter of a century. He was now in retirement, and hence, in a ponderous white cravat, like a stiff snowdrift, was so obliging as to shade the dinner. There was a whisper of the pervading Bohemian character in the nomadic nature of the service, and its curious races of plates and dishes, but the noble refrigerator, infinitely better than plate or porcelain, made it superb. He shaded the dinner, cooled the wines, chilled the gravy, and blighted the vegetables. There was only one other person in the room. A microscopically small footboy, who waited on the malevolent man who hadn't got into the post office. Even this youth, if his jacket could have been unbuttoned, and his heart laid bare, would have been seen, as a distant adherent of the Barnacle family, already to aspire to a situation under government. Mrs. Gowan, with a gentle melancholy upon her, occasioned by her sons, being reduced to court the swinish public as a follower of the low arts, instead of asserting his birthright and putting a ring through its nose as an acknowledged barnacle, headed the conversation at dinner on the evil days. It was then that Clennam learned for the first time what little pivots this great world goes round upon. If John Barnacle, apostrophe said Mrs. Gowan, after the degeneracy of the times, had been fully ascertained, if John Barnacle had but abandoned his most unfortunate idea of conciliating the mob, all would have been well, and I think the country would have been preserved. Apostrophe the old lady with the high nose assented, but added that, if Augustus Stiltstocking had in a general way ordered the cavalry out with instructions to charge, she thought the country would have been preserved. The noble refrigerator assented, but added that, if William Barnacle and Tudor Stiltstocking, when they came over to one another, and formed their ever-memorable coalition, had boldly muzzled the newspapers, and rendered it penal for any editor person, to presume to discuss the conduct of any appointed authority abroad or at home, he thought the country would have been preserved. It was agreed that the country, another word for the Barnacles and Stiltstockings, wanted preserving, but how it came to want preserving was not so clear. It was only clear that the question was all about John Barnacle, Augustus Stiltstocking, William Barnacle and Tudor Stiltstocking, Tom, Dick, or Harry Barnacle or Stiltstocking, because there was nobody else but Bob. And this was the feature of the conversation which impressed Clennam, as a man not used to it, very disagreeably, making him doubt if it were quite right to sit there, silently hearing a great nation narrowed to such little bounds. Remembering, however, that in the parliamentary debates, whether on the life of that nation's body, or the life of its soul, the question was usually all about and between John Barnacle, Augustus Stiltstocking, William Barnacle and Tudor Stiltstocking, Tom, Dick, or Harry Barnacle or Stiltstocking, and nobody else. He said nothing on the part of Mob, bethinking himself that Mob was used to it. Mr. Henry Gowan seemed to have a malicious pleasure in playing off the three talkers against each other, and in seeing Clennam startled by what they said. Having as supreme a contempt for the class, that had thrown him off as for the class, that had not taken him on, he had no personal disquiet in anything that passed. His healthy state of mind appeared, even to derive a gratification from Clennam's position of embarrassment and isolation among the good company, and if Clennam had been in that condition with which nobody was incessantly contending, he would have suspected it, and would have struggled with the suspicion as a meanness, even while he sat at the table. In the course of a couple of hours the noble refrigerator, at no time less than 100 years behind the period, got about 5 centuries in arrears, and delivered solemn political oracles appropriate to that epoch. He finished by freezing a cup of tea for his own drinking, and retiring at his lowest temperature. Then Mrs. Gowan, who had been accustomed in her days of a vacant armchair beside her to which to summon state, to retain her devoted slaves, one by one, for short audiences as marks of her especial favor, invited Clennam with a turn of her fan to approach the presence. He obeyed, and took the tripod recently vacated by Lord Lancaster Stiltstocking. Mr. Clennam, apostrophe said Mrs. Gowan, apart from the happiness I have in becoming known to you, though in this odiously inconvenient place a mere barrack there is a subject on which I am dying to speak to you. It is the subject in connection with which my son first had, I believe, the pleasure of cultivating your acquaintance. Apostrophe, Clennam inclined his head, as a generally suitable reply to what he did not yet quite understand. First, apostrophe said Mrs. Gowan, now, is she really pretty? Apostrophe, in nobody's difficulties, he would have found it very difficult to answer, very difficult indeed to smile, and say who? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, you know. Apostrophe, she returned. This flame of Henry's, this unfortunate fancy, there, if it is a point of honor that I should originate the name Miss Mickles Miggles. Apostrophe, Miss Meagles, apostrophe said Clennam, is very beautiful. Apostrophe, men are so often mistaken on those points, apostrophe returned Mrs. Gowan, shaking her head, that I candidly confess to you I feel anything but sure of it, even now, though it is something to have Henry corroborated with, so much gravity and emphasis. He picked the people up at Rome, I think. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the phrase would have given nobody mortal offense. Clennam replied, excuse me, I doubt if I understand your expression. Apostrophe, pick the people up, apostrophe said Mrs. Gowan, tapping the sticks of her closed fan, a large green one, which she used as a hand screen, on her little table. Came upon them. Found them out. Stumbled up against them. Apostrophe, the people? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. the Miggles people. Apostrophe, I really cannot say, apostrophe said Clennam, where my friend Mr. Meagles first presented Mr. Henry Gowan to his daughter. Apostrophe, I am pretty sure he picked her up at Rome, but never mind where somewhere. Now this is entirely between ourselves, is she very plebeian? Apostrophe, apostrophe, really, ma'am, apostrophe returned Clennam, I am so undoubtedly plebeian myself, that I do not feel qualified to judge. Apostrophe, very neat. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mrs. Gowan, coolly unfurling her screen. Very happy. From which I infer, that you secretly think her manner equal to her looks. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Clennam, after a moment's stiffness, bowed. That's comforting, and I hope you may be right. Did Henry tell me you had traveled with him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I traveled with my friend Mr. Meagles, and his wife and daughter, during some months. Apostrophe, nobody's heart might have been wrung by the remembrance. Really comforting, because you must have had a large experience of them. You see, Mr. Clennam, this thing has been going on for a long time, and I find no improvement in it. Therefore, to have the opportunity of speaking to one so well informed about it as yourself, is an immense relief to me. Quite a boon. Quite a blessing, I am sure. Apostrophe, pardon me, apostrophe returned Clennam, but I am not in Mr. Henry Gowan's confidence. I am far from being so well informed as you suppose me to be. Your mistake makes my position a very delicate one. No word on this topic has ever passed between Mr. Henry Gowan and myself. Apostrophe, Mrs. Gowan glanced at the other end of the room, where her son was playing euchre on a sofa, with the old lady who was for a charge of cavalry. Not in his confidence? No, apostrophe said Mrs. Gowan. No word has passed between you? No, that I can imagine. But there are unexpressed confidences, Mr. Clennam, and as you have been together intimately among these people, I cannot doubt that a confidence of that sort exists in the present case. Perhaps you have heard that I have suffered the keenest distress of mind from Henry's having taken to a pursuit which, well, apostrophe, apostrophe, shrugging her shoulders, a very respectable pursuit, I dare say, and some artists are, as artists, quite superior persons. Still, we never yet in our family have gone beyond an amateur, and it is a pardonable weakness to feel a little apostrophe, as Mrs. Gowan broke off to heave a sigh. Clennam, however resolute to be magnanimous, could not keep down the thought that there was mighty little danger of the family's ever going beyond an amateur, even as it was. Henry, apostrophe the mother resumed, is self-willed and resolute, and as these people naturally strain every nerve to catch him, I can entertain very little hope, Mr. Clennam, that the thing will be broken off. I apprehend the girl's fortune will be very small. Henry might have done much better. There is scarcely anything to compensate for the connection. Still, he acts for himself, and if I find no improvement within a short time, I see no other course than to resign myself and make the best of these people. I am infinitely obliged to you for what you have told me. Apostrophe as she shrugged her shoulders, Clennam stiffly bowed again. With an uneasy flush upon his face, and hesitation in his manner, he then said in a still lower tone than he had adopted yet, Mrs. Gowan, I scarcely know how to acquit myself of what I feel to be a duty, and yet I must ask you for your kind consideration in attempting to discharge it. A misconception on your part, a very great misconception, if I may venture to call it so, seems to require setting right. You have supposed Mr. Meagles and his family to strain every nerve, I think you said apostrophe, every nerve, apostrophe repeated Mrs. Gowan, looking at him in calm obstinacy, with her green fan between her face and the fire. To secure Mr. Henry Gowan? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the lady placidly assented. Now that is so far, apostrophe said Arthur, from being the case, that I know Mr. Meagles to be unhappy in this matter, and to have interposed all reasonable obstacles with the hope of putting an end to it. apostrophe, Mrs. Gowan shut up her great green fan, tapped him on the arm with it, and tapped her smiling lips. Why, of course, apostrophe, said she. Just what I mean. Apostrophe, Arthur watched her face for some explanation of what she did mean. Are you really serious, Mr. Clennam? Don't you see? Apostrophe, Arthur did not see, and said so. Why, don't I know my son, and don't I know that this is exactly the way to hold him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Gowan, contemptuously. And do not these Miggles people know it, at least as well as I? Oh, shrewd people, Mr. Clennam. Evidently people of business. I believe Miggles belong to a bank. It ought to have been a very profitable bank, if he had much to do with its management. This is very well done, indeed. Apostrophe, I beg and entreat you, ma'am, apostrophe, Arthur interposed. Oh, Mr. Clennam, can you really be so credulous? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it made such a painful impression upon him to hear her talking in this haughty tone, and to see her patting her contemptuous lips with her fan, that he said very earnestly, believe me, ma'am, this is unjust, a perfectly groundless suspicion. Apostrophe, suspicion? Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated Mrs. Gowan. Not suspicion, Mr. Clennam, certainty. It is very knowingly done indeed, and seems to have taken you in completely. Apostrophe, she laughed, and again sat tapping her lips with her fan, and tossing her head, as if she added, don't tell me. I know such people will do anything for the honor of such an alliance. Apostrophe, at this opportune moment, the cards were thrown up, and Mr. Henry Gowan came across the room saying, Mother, if you can spare Mr. Clennam for this time, we have a long way to go, and it's getting late. Apostrophe, Mr. Clennam thereupon rose, as he had no choice but to do, and Mrs. Gowan showed him, to the last, the same look and the same tapped contemptuous lips. You have had a portentously long audience of my mother, apostrophe, said Gowan, as the door closed upon them. I fervently hope she has not bored you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not at all, apostrophe, said Clennam. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.